Utanggalin Seminar. So for those of you who are interested, especially to live a debt-free life, pagtanggal ng mga utang. Ito po, meron po tayong magaling na speaker by the name Jim Reyes. And he is connected with 700 Club Asia and also with the Wealth with a Purpose. So he's a very good speaker, especially on this topic, utanggalin or living a debt-free life. And also in July 2, it's our fourth year anniversary. Wow, tagal na pala ng GCF New Valley. 4 years na. Diba? So ang our services, just 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. This is very important, especially for the 4 p.m. service. Okay, so yung mga 4 p.m., akyat lang tayo dun sa 2 p.m. Dun tayo. Para yun lang po yung ating services because we have a special guest worship leader and also a guest speaker on that day on July 2. So that's why we only have two services, 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. by on July 2 on our fourth year anniversary. Now, also, it's good for us to have some application of what we discussed last week. I hope you still remember what we discussed or what's the lesson last week when with regards to the book of Amos. Remember righteousness and justice, especially justice on doing what is right. The Lord has given us the opportunity as a church, okay, to apply this, doing what is right. Let me read to you the message or the letter of our General Director, Ray Avante. He said, "Dear CBAP family, here is an opportunity to help in Marawi situation, Operation Malong. On top of food and water and the displaced families from Marawi City, they call their needs for towels, blankets, prayer mats, baby sling, shawl, sunshade, portable dressing room, hammock, and something to wrap supplies. So the traditional quote-unquote tube skirt, multicolored cotton called malong, does it all. So join our campaign for the purchase of 1,000 malongs at 300 pesos per piece. You may deposit your help and donation at our CBAP account. Now, instead of us donating individually, let's do it as a church." Okay. So by next week, we will have a second offering, a collection for our brethren in Marawi or our fellow Filipinos in Marawi. Is it okay with you? Dapat lang. Kasi yung 10 tsaka 2 pumayag eh. Diba? So dapat payag din yung 4 p.m. So next week, why next week? Why not now? I want you to pray for it. Just pray for it and just ask the Lord what's the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your heart, whatever amount would you would like to give, would like to donate. That is why we don't want to, hindi naman parang tinutulak kayo kagad yun. That's why we schedule it by next week so that we can prepare for that, especially for our, again, fellow Filipinos in Marawi. We all know that still there is an ongoing war in Marawi City in Mindanao. So by next week, we will have a second collection that is for Marawi. Now we will continue our sermon today. Based on Obadiah, we will discuss about pride. In Hosea, we talk about God's covenant love, that God's love never fails, never gives up, and never runs out on us. In the book of Joel, we say that God's mercy never ends. In the book of Amos, God's justice is always perfect. Now, in the book of Obadiah, we will learn that God is sovereign. Because here, the interesting fact here is that God is not talking to Israel, nor to Judah, but he is talking to the nation of Edom. And not only to Edom, but he said in Obadiah verse 15, it says there, to all nations. So meaning God is sovereign. He is not just sovereign over Israel, but to all nations. And because he is sovereign, we will learn today that God brings down the haughty and he lifts up the humble. Haughty means conceited or the pride, the prideful, the proud person. That's what haughty means. So God, because he is sovereign, he can bring down the haughty and he can lift up the humble. Now before we go to our sermon, I just remember a story regarding this pride, wherein a young woman named Mary had an appointment with her pastor because she wants to talk to her pastor. And then when she saw her pastor, he said, because she was very worried about this besetting sin in her. And when she saw her pastor, she said, "Pastor, I have become aware of a sin in my life which I cannot control." Mary said, "And what's that?" The pastor said, "What's that besetting sin or that sin that you cannot control?" And then Mary said, "Every time I am in the church, just like this setting, every time I am in the church and I begin to look around to other women, every time I look at them, to all women, I realize that I am the prettiest among them all." Yun ang problema ni Mary, di ba? That's her problem. "I realize that I am the prettiest among them all. Pastor, what should I do with this sin?" Then her pastor told her, "Mary, let me tell you, that is not a sin. That's just a mistake. You are just hallucinating. That's not a sin." Well, sometimes we're hallucinating, but sometimes it's really pride in us. So today we will take a closer look about pride based on Obadiah. In Hebrew, it is pronounced Obadiah, means a servant of God. And here's a little bit of trivia. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. It only consists of 21 verses all in all. It has no chapters, but it has only verses because it consists of just one chapter. 21 verses all in all. So just like what we did in Hosea, Joel, Amos, let's first take a look at the whole context of Obadiah so that we can grasp the background and what is happening during the time of Obadiah. Then we will go to the content of our passage in Obadiah verses 3 and 4. Let's watch this video.
The book of the prophet Obadiah. This is the shortest book in the whole Old Testament. It's a mere 21 verses. And at first glance, it does not look very promising. It's a series of divine judgment poems against the ancient people of Edom, which was a nation that neighbored Israel on the other side of the Dead Sea. However, there is way, way more going on here. So, first, here's the backstory. The people of Edom were unique because they had a shared ancestry with the Israelites. They both belonged to the family of Abraham, who, with Sarah, had their son Isaac, who, with his wife Rebekah, had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, the book of Genesis told us the story of these two brothers, and to say the very least, they had a tense relationship. They each later received the names Israel and Edom, which eventually became the name of the families that descended from them. And these families replayed the same difficult relationship of their ancestors. Israel and Edom had enormous tensions throughout the centuries, but they still shared that family bond. And it's that bond that was betrayed and shattered in the tragic events of Jerusalem's fall to Babylon. So when Israel was invaded and conquered by Babylon, the people of Edom took advantage by plundering other Israelite cities and then capturing and even killing Israelite refugees. Now, in other prophetic books, God held Israel's neighbors accountable for this kind of violence. And so here, Obadiah does the same for Edom. The short book has two halves. The first part is a series of accusations against the leaders of Edom, specifically for their pride and self-exaltation. Literally, as they lived up high in the desert rocks, but also metaphorically, they truly believed they were superior to the Israelites. And it's that pride that led the Edomites to not just stand idly by when Babylon came to destroy Jerusalem, but actually to participate in the destruction. And so God says through Obadiah that Edom will be brought down from their height and destroyed. As they have done to Israel, so it will be done to them. Now, right when you think you're going to hear more about how Edom will meet its doom, the topic suddenly shifts in verse 15. We hear this: "The day of the Lord is near against all nations." Now, why do we all of a sudden shift from Edom now to all nations? This verse is a hinge piece, and it links the first half of the book to the second half, where Obadiah announces the day of the Lord, but not only for Edom. He widens his focus to include all nations. And Obadiah says that all prideful nations that act like Edom will face God's justice in the same way. They'll fall from their prideful heights and come to ruin. Now, the combination of these two sections, one about Edom, the other about all nations, shows us why Obadiah was so interested in this tiny southern neighbor of Israel. Obadiah sees Edom's pride and fall as an example, an image of how God will one day confront the pride of all nations and bring about their fall too. It's hardly coincidental that in Hebrew, the word Edom, or Edom, is spelled with the exact same letters as the word humanity, or in Hebrew, Adam. In Obadiah, Edom's rise and fall is a parable of how God's justice will one day oppose pride and violence among all nations in the day of the Lord. But as in all the prophets, God's judgment is never his final word. Specifically, remember the conclusion of the two books that came right before Obadiah, Joel and Amos. Joel had painted a picture of what will happen after the day of the Lord against all nations. He said that God would perform a new act of salvation in Jerusalem, and that all who humbled themselves and called upon him would be delivered. And in the conclusion of Amos, he said that after the day of the Lord has judged Israel's evil, God would raise up the house of David and build a new kingdom for Israel that would include Edom and all the nations called by my name. And so the book of Obadiah has been placed right after Joel and then Amos to expand on these very promises about the hope of God's kingdom over all of the nations. And so the book concludes with a very hopeful future. God says he's going to restore his kingdom over the new Jerusalem, that he'll repopulate it with a faithful remnant. And then from there, God's kingdom will expand to include all the territory and nations around Israel. And so this little book contributes to the larger portrait of God's justice and faithfulness that we're seeing in the prophets. The ancient pride and betrayal of the people of Edom becomes an example of the greater human condition, all of the ways that we betray and hurt each other and God's good world. But there's hope, Obadiah says. Edom's downfall points to the day when God will deal with evil in our world, but also bring his healing kingdom of peace over all the nations. And that's what the book of Obadiah is all about.
May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We will be reading Obadiah verses 3 and 4. Again, Obadiah verses 3 and 4. The word of God says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, 'Who will bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord." May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us this afternoon. Help us, Lord God, to understand, especially about pride. Deal with us, Lord God, this afternoon when it comes to our pride. Help us to be able to repent, Lord God, to return to you by forsaking pride, by getting rid of pride. Instead, Lord, we should humble ourselves before you and before men. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Please be seated. So again, in our passage, it's quite clear. It says here, the pride of your heart, God is speaking to Edom, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, "Who will bring me down to the ground?" But God said, though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, God said, from there, from wherever you are, God said, "I will bring you down. I will bring you down," declares the Lord. And it is not only true to Edom, because in verse 15 it says there, "For the day of the Lord is near upon all nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your deeds shall return on your own head." So what is the lesson here? God is sovereign. He is completely in control, not only in Israel, not only in Edom, but to all nations. But to all nations. Now, specifically, God said here, the lesson here is about pride. God is sovereign, so therefore he can bring down the haughty and he can lift up the humble. Three things that we will discuss this afternoon. First is the sin of pride, the consequence of pride, and then the solution to pride. The sin of pride. It's quite clear here. It says there, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Who will, and even Edom said, who will bring me down to the ground? And the Hebrew word for pride, it's sadon. It means overconfidence. That is what the word pride there, overconfidence or insolence. Insolence means the concept of an inflated view of oneself. Again, the concept of inflated view of oneself. in the context of Edom, she is bragging. She has this inflated view of herself that she is more superior than Judah, than Israel. Because indeed, she has this advantage. Military speaking, the higher you are, that's more advantage to you. And that is the position of Edomites. They live at the cleft of the rock. So positionally speaking, when it comes to warfare, they have the advantage over Judah, over Israel. And that's why they're bragging. It somehow, it becomes a national pride to the point of arrogance. That is for Edom. Now, the issue of pride is not only true to Edom, but it is also for us. There is something to learn here in the book of Obadiah. When it comes to pride, we are not exempted. We are not exempted. Remember, people back then in the book of Genesis, the Tower of Babel, the issue there is already pride. When they want to reach God, using that tower, the issue there is pride. Now, what about us today? It's our ego. We call it ego nowadays, an inflated ego. Now, what is the problem of pride? One commentary, the NIV application commentary on Obadiah, it says there, one of the problems of self-reliance and pride is that one is not open to correction. Meaning, after all, if I am right, why should I listen? Why should I listen to what anyone else thinks? Pride. The danger of pride. My prayer, GCF Nuvali, is for all of us that we will be open to correction. We will always stay humble. My mentor always tells me that, Erwin, you need to keep a humble heart because there is always something to learn if you will keep a humble heart. And I am passing this on to you. You need to keep a humble heart. Remember, there is always something to learn if you will keep a humble heart. There is this story in one of the Aesop's fable, The Frog and the Ox. I don't know if you are familiar with this story, children's book. Ang dami natin matututunan minsan dyan sa mga children's book. Okay? Here's the story of the frog and the ox. One day, the little frog said, "Oh, father, I have seen such a terrible monster," he said to his father. "It was as big as a mountain with horns on its head, with a long tail, and it had hoofs that divided in two." And then the old frog said, "Child, that's just the farmer's ox. And besides, he's not that really that big. Well, perhaps he's a little bit taller than I, but I can become broad as he is." So what did the old frog did is that he blew himself out. He blew himself, and then he asked his child, "Was he as big as this?" And then the little frog said, "Oh, much bigger than that, father." And then again, he blew himself out. And then again, he asked his little child, "Was he as big as this?" And then the little frog said, "Bigger, father, bigger." So what he did is that he took a deep breath. Okay? This old frog, he took a deep breath and blew and blew and blew until he swelled and he swelled and he swelled and he swelled. And then he said, "I'm sure," he said to his child, "I'm sure the ox is not as big as," and then all of a sudden he burst. He burst. He died. Self-conceit may lead to self-destruction. Pride could lead to self-destruction. The Word of God has given us warnings upon warnings when it comes to pride. In the book of Proverbs, it says there, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is wisdom. Scoffer is the name of the arrogant, haughty man who acts with arrogant pride." And then in the New Testament, James chapter 4, verse 6, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Let me repeat that. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, in what ways we fall into the trap of pride? Sometimes we fall into the trap of pride because of achievements, accolades, applause of men, compliments. I was reminded by the Lord with this when I visited my mother last Monday, because it was her birthday. And then we had some chat, usap kami. Then all of a sudden, she just told me, "Erwin, you know what? From the time you took that call of the Lord for you to become a pastor, 2010, now 2017, you've come a long way when it comes to your preaching. There is a big difference from 2010 to 2017. And then she said, "Alam mo yung tita mo, meron kasing kaibigan yun nag-attend sa GCF Santa Rosa. I think I was there just this April. I preached at GCF Santa Rosa. And she told to your auntie that, hey, your nephew was a good speaker. He was a good speaker. I heard him speak there at GCF Santa Rosa. I attended in GCF Santa Rosa and I heard him speak." Then all of a sudden, it's just as if there's a pump in my head, you know, to inflate my ego. Ano yung pump, di ba? Sa bike, meron doon eh. Para bang unti-unti eh. No? Para yung frog, di ba? Naglumolobo ng lumolobo yung ego. Then all of a sudden, it just dawned on me, oops, I am going to preach Obadiah. So right there and there, I need to burst the balloon of pride. Para bang may pin, di ba? Putukin mo na yan. I need to burst the balloon of pride because I remember what my another pastor, when every time we talk about that we need to guard ourselves as pastors against pride, because we do public speaking, so we need to guard ourselves against pride. And he said to me, "Ingat tayo kasi, pastor, baka hindi ka pa sikat, laos ka na." Totoo nga naman yun, di ba? Ibig sabihin, kasi nag-pride ka, yumabang ka, hindi ka pa nga sumisikat, laos ka na. Diba? So, tama nga naman yun. I need to burst the balloon of pride in me because of achievements, accolades, and applause of men. Sometimes also we fall into the trap of pride because of insecurities in life. Instead of celebrating the success of others, we tend to feel insecure with them. Remember, insecurity can lead to envy. Sometimes we just hide it with the word insecurity. Baka minsan envy, inggit na pala. Pride. Instead of just celebrating the success of others, it hurt our ego. Dapat ako yun eh. Or perhaps sometimes we shy away from asking help. That's pride. Let me read this to you in the New Testament in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, look at what the Apostle Paul saying to the Galatians. "Bear one another's burdens," meaning you ask for help. Why? Because in verse 3 he said, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Galatians chapter 6 verse 3. Again, let me repeat to you what the Apostle Paul said. When someone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Pride. The danger of pride. Last Tuesday, as I was preparing this sermon, as I was meditating on this lesson about pride, all of a sudden I received a text from the ministry assistant of GCF Santa Rosa, because I still oversee GCF Santa Rosa up to this day, at this point in time. So he texted me, and this is what he said. "Pastor, good morning. The coffee maker is already with Sister Susan. Pwede po ba makisuyo na lang sa inyo if matuloy yung mentoring natin this Monday? Now, here's a confession, okay? I need to confess this to you. As I was reading that text message, it reveals how I really have this inflated ego. How? Because right there and there, immediately, I want to text back that, hey, can you please ask someone to get it from here? Okay? Kasi nasa isip ko eh. Kayo na nga yung nagpabili. Ako pa yung uutusan nyo ngayong mag-deliver pa ngayon nung coffee maker. Diba? Parang na kayo na yung nag-utos, ako pa yung mag-deliver. Diba? Parang, teka muna, ako yung pastor dito ha. Ako pa yung utusan, pastor na delivery boy pa. Diba? Yun yung mga pumapasok sa isip. Dami-dami kong ginagawa. I'm still studying. Dami ko pang ginagawa. Pag-deliverin mo pa ako ng coffee maker, pwede naman kayong pumunta dito. And then immediately, the Lord, it is as if the Lord is speaking to me, "Erwin, you are just meditating on pride. What are you thinking? Why are you reacting that way with that simple request?" You have just revealed who I am, Lord. I have this inflated ego. I really need to burst the balloon of pride in me. Sabi ko na lang, okay, sa Monday, dadaling ko dyan, i-deliver ko yung coffee maker. So tomorrow, meron akong task. Pupunta ako doon para kukunin ko muna kina Brother Elias yung coffee maker bago ko dalhin doon. Dadaling ko ngayon sa Monday. Kahit na ayoko, gagawin ko. Because pride. Ano ba mawawala sa akin doon? Kung dalhin ko naman doon yun. Let us be very, very careful with pride. Because church, if we will not be sensitive as to how the Holy Spirit is dealing with us, remember, there is consequence to pride. Look at the consequence to pride. In Edom, in Obadiah verse 4, look at what God said to Edom. Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, meaning because they are living at the top of the cliff, he said, from there, look at what God said, from there I will bring you down. I will bring you down. Mas masakit yata yun, di ba? The more higher you are, mas masakit daw ang bagsak eh. God said, from there, wherever you are, I will bring you down. I will bring you down. Remember that God is much more powerful than Edom. His position is much higher than Edom because at the heaven of heavens, He is sovereign. That's why He said, I will bring you down. And indeed, it happened to Edom. God uses the Babylon, not only to conquer Judah, but also Edom. Now, in the same way, if we think that we are in a high place, quote-unquote high place, remember that God can bring us down. And let me tell you, church, wag na nating hintayin yun. Ang sakit po nun. It is better for us to humble ourselves before God rather than wait for God to humble us. Mas masakit yun kapag ginawa ni Lord yun. He is sovereign. I will bring you down. God can bring down the haughty and He can lift up the humble. Again, James chapter 4, verse 6. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And God can use different circumstances to humble us. In 2 Samuel, there's this story about David when he asked his commander-in-chief, Joab, to number his men, to have a census with regards to his men. And what is the fault there of David? John MacArthur said that David either wanted to glory in the size of his fighting force or take more territory than what the Lord has granted him. He shifted his trust from God to military power. So for me, when I am reading that story, that narrative, I see pride in David. He began to become proud when it comes to his military forces. That is why in 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 10, it says there, David was pricked in his heart. He knew that he committed sin, even though the narrator did not say any what kind of sin. But there were consequences for his action. There, you can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 24. David received the consequence of his action. It's because of pride. Being proud of his resources. Let us not wait to fall into the hands of God, my dear brothers and sisters, but rather let us humble ourselves before God. That is the antidote to pride. That is the solution to pride. Look at what he said in Obadiah verses 12 to 14. Look at the warning that God gave to Edom. But do not gloat. Do not gloat over the day of your brother, that is Judah, in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. And then he said again, do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. The picture there is, do not gloat. Do not boast, meaning humble yourself before God. In the New Testament, it says here, especially for the believers, if you already profess your faith on the finished work of Christ, you call yourself a Christian, a believer, a born-again Christian, look at what the Word of God says. Clothe yourself, all of you, all the believers, He said, all of you with what? With humility toward one another. Why? What is the reason? For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then look at the command. Humble yourself. That's a command. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. What is the result? So that at the proper time, He may exalt you. God can bring down the haughty, and He lifts up the humble in His perfect time. In His perfect time. So what can we learn from this? Okay. What is the application? What is the action point? Just remember the word humble. Okay. First, humility. Humility. We need to keep a humble heart. We always need to think others, they are more, their significance rather than us. We should always think about others. Therefore, we should not be unassuming. We should be unassuming. Because in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says there, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, that's pride, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Again, let me repeat what I said from the Word of God. Count others more significant than yourselves. But sadly, we are doing the opposite. We tend to count ourselves highly than others. Mas magaling naman ako sa kanya eh. Bakit naman sa'yo na-promote? Ayan tayo mag-isip eh. But the Bible says, count others more significant than us. And that is meekness. The Lord Jesus, He is the perfect example. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, it says here, being found in human form, He, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Redeemer, our God, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What is the result? Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name. And also, meekness means strength under control, meaning you have all the resources, you have all the power, but in the end, you will not use it. Remember our Lord Jesus Christ, while He was hanging on the cross, He has all the power to call legions of angels, and yet He said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. That's meekness, strength under control. And we always need to bow down before God, our sovereign God. Again, let us not wait for Him to humble us, but rather let us humble ourselves before Him and before men. We need to learn from others. Before, I have this tendency to criticize others, especially when I am listening to a public speaker or to a conference. And somehow the Lord taught me this, that you are there to listen, to learn. You need to listen to learn, not listen to criticize. Erwin, you don't know everything. That's pride. If what, every time you will sit down there, you are listening, you're just always looking for something is wrong with what he is saying. You're always looking for what's that wrong. That's pride. Church, as I continue my education right now, as I am pursuing higher degree, one thing that I learned, the more I accumulate knowledge, the more I see that there's still a lot of things to learn. The more you have knowledge, the more you will see that there's a lot of things to learn. So that's why I always carry with me what my mentor has told me, that I need to keep a humble heart because there's always something to learn if we will keep a humble heart. And lastly, we need to entrust ourselves to God. Why? Because He is sovereign. He is sovereign. Our responsibility is to keep ourselves humble, and let's just wait because it is in God's perfect timing, He will lift up the humble. We need to just humble ourselves and God will lift us up in His perfect timing. Let me close by sharing again my experience this week, last Tuesday, as I was invited by the chairman of the North of Manila, CBAP, the EXECOM. They had this retreat in Silang, Cavite of the EXECOM, CBAP Norma. On their last day, they invited me to come over and to just have some sharing about the best practices in the ministry. Then when the chairman had the opportunity to be with me alone, he told me this, "Pastor, I want you to know that someone among our group, among the pastors of CBAP, got offended by your comment on my Facebook wall regarding the CHED. Because the story there is that he posted that there is this school that only you just need 1 year and you will have your bachelor degree." And then I just made a comment, "CHED recognized ba yan? Parang hindi naman yata po pwede yan." From the Commission of Higher Education, "Parang hindi naman yata pwede yon. 1 year? You have already have a bachelor degree?" And then he told me that somehow this pastor got offended. At first, di ba, ba't naman mo offend? Eh, tama naman yung sinabi ko. Wala naman siguro talagang, di ba tama naman yun? Di ba, kahit kanino ko itanong, eh kahit ba hindi, sabihin mo nang kahit 4 years pa yan, if it is not CHED recognized, hindi ma-honor sa Philippines. You don't have this thing called SO number, the special order number. Di ba, pag nag-graduate tayo, meron tayo yan. Bachelor, masteral, or whatever. Kailangan kasi recognize yung school. But again, the Lord rebuked me. Muna isipin kung tama ka. Na-offend eh. Ano yung tamang gawin? Okay, Lord. I PM'd him. "Pastor, it came to my knowledge that you have been offended by my remarks or my comment regarding the CHED thing. Please forgive me." And then he said, and then he replied, this pastor, he replied, "Oh, no worries, Pastor. I remain looking up to you with high esteem." Now, what's just the lesson there? Let me tell you, it takes a lot of strength, you know, to humble yourself before men. Mas madali pang bakit ako magsusorry dyan? Mas madali pang gawin yun. Kesa yung you humble yourself, okay. I'm sorry if you have been offended. Even though na, wala talagang, Lord, wala talagang mali doon sa sinabi ko eh. Diba? E na-offend eh. Anong gagawin mo? The Bible says, humble yourself. Okay. And besides, let me tell you, yes, it's quite hard. It's hard. Easier than, sabi nga, mas madali lang naman pag-usapan yan eh. Pero pag gagawin na, mahirap na. Yes, it's hard, but let me tell you, it's worth it. Because one day, again, one day, remember, God brings down the haughty and He will lift up the humble in His perfect time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the reminder from your word about pride. I know, Lord, left to our own, we will just have this inflated ego. Or worse, Lord, sometimes we do not even know that we have already an inflated ego. My prayer, Lord, this afternoon, would you please break us?